inside the pocket of a clown. Is a sad place to hang around.
Only on 103.7 can you go from Buzz Babe Amanda to Standard & Poor's Moody Fitch, quoting from the Wall Street Journal. I mean, we cover the spectrum here, don't we? I shouldn't assume anything. I mean, Buzz Babe Amanda may read the Wall Street Journal on a daily basis. She might could discuss the downgrade in more depth than I could. Rick Calhoun, now that's a guy that can discuss it.
Yes, sir.
Cruz and Associates back with us. Now, we were getting into this. Let's get back to that Republican side again. I already put you in the Obama hypothetical now. I mentioned that I think the support for Romney's kind of tepid. I don't think Bachman plays long term. I just don't. Perry's in now. Where does that go? We were talking during the break, and you told me you think obviously the next 45 days are crucial to see if that rocket ship takes off, if you will.
I think Perry has the jet fuel to make that rocket ship take off. I mean, he's a great guy. He's got an unprecedented record, both as governor and he's never lost an election.
He's a tremendous campaigner.
You know, there was a former Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Rove was among those who talked him into changing. He was the Texas campaign manager for Al Gore's 1988 presidential campaign. So,
I love the story about Rick Perry that when he first decided to run for the Texas State House, out there at his district, it's called the Big Empty. It's huge. It's enormous. Mm-hmm. And so he, being a former Air Force C-130 pilot, had a little fabric wing Piper Cub, and he would literally canvass the district by flying over with his campaign manager. And when he would see a tractor down on a field, he would land and go out and canvass the driver of the tractor. Well, one story goes
that he's from Paint Creek out in West Texas, which is a wild spot in the road.
Middle of nowhere. But he lands to go call on this farmer in the middle of the field, and after he comes down, a pickup truck pulls up. And, of course, Perry and his campaign manager are wearing business suits and neckties, and they get out. And as Perry reaches into his coat pocket to pull out some campaign literature, he says he heard the distinct sound of a shell being chambered. And he said, because the farmers thought they were drug dealers.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, 30 minutes later, the campaign manager tells a story. He said, 30 minutes later, they got back on the plane with a check from the farmer for a campaign contribution. He said, right then I knew that Perry boy was going somewhere. If he could talk a farmer out of a campaign contribution in 30 minutes after being...
Who was about to shoot him.
Who was about to shoot him.
Oh, that's great. That kind of reminds me, a buddy of mine and I like to... we've got a guide, and we like to go on very remote Ozark streams where you don't see anybody else all day. And Smith fish for smallmouth bass, which we did a few weeks ago, but a couple of years ago we were on Long Creek up out of Alpena. We put in and didn't see anybody again all day, but our guide had told us that now if we do see somebody, said the chances are they're out here tending their marijuana patch. So you let them speak first. Don't speak to them. If they want to speak to you, they will. But so Rick Perry now in the race, and so you think he's got a real chance to take off coming in late and win this Republican nomination?
I think he's the real deal for a number of reasons, and that is the other candidates, even though I agree with most of the other candidates on most things, each of those candidates only represents one segment of the old Reagan coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Perry has the strongest chance of reuniting the Reagan coalition, you know, of social conservatives, fiscal conservatives, you know, and defense hawks. We haven't seen that in a while, and I think he can do that.
A lot can happen, obviously, in the next year and a half to change the world situation. But looking at it right now, it really appears that this presidential race, unlike the last race, which had a lot to do, and obviously we're still in Iraq, we're still in Afghanistan, but obviously, that race turned more on international relations. This one's going to be all about jobs, all about the economy,
absolutely,
all about the debt. deficit hawks like the fact that the focus is on there. And I've always considered myself a bit of a deficit hawk. You brought some interesting information I want to get into before the hour runs out on what this government debt means to the average American family out there. What are we talking about?
You know, Rex, the thing that most people don't understand, or they think in abstract terms about this, all of this money that we owe, but how does that impact or affect the average Arkansan? Do you realize that in Arkansas, we spend about $4.6 billion every year on our state budget? We raise approximately $2.5 billion of that from tax revenue, and then the rest from sales tax, use tax, and all sorts of other fees. That's $4.6 or $4.5 billion. Do you realize we get another $7.5 billion from the federal government alone? You mirror that to Alabama, to Mississippi, and states all across the country. So we in Arkansas are dependent upon federal money, mm-hmm. as are so many other states. But, you know, somebody shot me a little email that I thought was so, you know, one of these email things that I thought really summed it up well, and it talked about removing zeros, eight zeros, because, you know, $1 trillion is a lot of money. But if you look at the federal debt and compare—
Real money, as Everett Dirksen would say.
Real money. If you look at the federal debt and compare it to a family debt, the U.S. brings in tax revenue. Its income from all sources is approximately $2.1 trillion every year. Its budget, what does it spend? About $3.8 trillion. So that's new debt. Mm-hmm. That's about $1.6 trillion in new debt that it has to raise every year to continue that deficit spending. Okay, so the national debt right now is about $14.2 trillion. So these recent budget cuts of about, you know, $38 billion, how does that compare? All right, let's take that, drop the eight zeros, and let's compare that to a family.
All right.
Let's call it the Smith or Jones family.
Okay.
So the total income for the Jones family is now $21,700. The amount of money the Jones family spends, $38,200.
Wow.
The amount of new debt added to the credit card, $16,500.
That puts
every
it in perspective.
Year.
Every year you're adding $16,000 in credit
That's
card
right.
debt.
So what's your outstanding credit card balance for the Jones family? $142,000. So how much did the Jones family cut from their debt, just like Congress? $385.
$38 billion. In the real world, the Jones family would have already declared bankruptcy.
That's right. Yeah. But the difference is that the federal government makes its own rules. It plays by different rules than you and I. If you went to get a loan at the bank and you didn't declare all your assets, all of your liabilities, you could go to prison for fraud. The federal government doesn't do that. So in addition to the $14.5 trillion we owe, we've got another nearly $60 trillion in unfunded liabilities out there, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid alone, that's got to be addressed.
Wow. Yeah, that puts it in perspective. And again, I assume you agree with me. That's what this next election is gonna turn on,
economic issues. It's going to be all about jobs. It's going to be all about the budget. It's going to be all about making America get back on its feet, live within its means, and go forward to continue the greatest experiment in Democratic government for the last 235 years. Even though folks may have sons or daughters in Iraq or Afghanistan, mm-hmm. they're going to be more concerned and they're going to be more touched by federal spending and how we get that under control than ever before.
To digress again, while you were talking, we have a flat-screen monitor up behind you that you can't see, and we had ABC This Week on there. Herman Cain was actually singing yesterday in Iowa, and your bandmate Mike Huckabee was backing him up in the background on bass. I just wanted you to know that while Herman sang a gospel tune.
Herman's got a great voice. I'm not sure it's the voice, and I love Herman Cain, don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure it's the voice that America wants to hear this year.
I like her. Well, he's a great speaker, though. I love to hear the guy speak.
Oh, he is. He's great.
Really, really good speaker. I've got to get a little bit into your musical background, Rick, because you've played with groups around Arkansas going back, not to age you, but going back decades now.
Well, I was very blessed. I've always loved music. And, you know, my generation, more than any other, after the Beatles hit the Ed Sullivan Show on February the 9th, 1964, not that I wasn't paying attention, you know, it changed America and it changed the world. And so many of us from that generation, the baby boomers, got into music, tried to make a career out of it. Some did. Some made it. Some didn't. I made it modestly. And I've been very blessed these last several years, you know, to play with Governor Huckabee's band, Capital Offense. And that's been a real good outlet. In addition to trading securities and working hard every day at the office, I have that outlet. And that's a good outlet. And unlike sports, you don't break bones.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's something you can do lifelong. So you started playing what, junior high, high school bands?
Yeah, in high school. And really got serious in college in the late 60s.
And you told me you met Mike Huckabee when?
In 1973. Because I played his junior-senior prom in Hope, Arkansas.
Y'all were playing in Hope High School. Now, what group was this in 73?
St. James.
Okay.
From Conway, Arkansas. At the time, we originally were from Morrilton, but we were all students at UCA.
What's now UCA?
SCA back then, yeah.
So the Saint go back, how long was the Saint James group? It's
about 10 years, 1968 to 1978. We played all over the country, all
wow.
the way from New Orleans to Chicago, and you know, Florida, across the country, and everything in between, the Midwest. It was a lot of fun.
Who were some of the folks in the group with you?
A singer by the name of Mark Hayes, a drummer by the uh-huh. name of John Bradley, a guitar player by the name of Andy Fullerton, who is absolutely one of the best. And Mark and Andy went on to have professional careers out of Nashville after we broke up. My brother on bass guitar, Mark, and then a keyboard player by the name of Chuck Gordon, Charles Willis Gordon.
And you all came out of Morrilton, basically.
Out of Morrilton,
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. yeah.
And you started working in radio early, I understand, at the great KVOM, the voice of Morrilton.
Yes, KVOM radio. And in the Paging River Valley.
Yes, sir. And I started at KVRC 1240 in Arkadelphia.
Those
were
the
even,
days.
Where even, Matt, our time was sponsored. You would say it's 10 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, brought to you by Laster Furniture Company, where you're invited to buy now and pay later. Free parking while shopping at the store. Open all day Saturdays. You impressed? I still got that memorized.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
there are some old Arkadelphians who just had a flashback when they heard that.
Oh, that's
you'd
great.
Always give the
that's
Laster great. Furniture Company little spot, and it's just ingrained in my mind after all these years. Small town radio is fun. Isn't
it? It's great. It was such a focal point for the community because every day on the news they talked about who was admitted to the hospital, who had passed away. You know, it was all about community.
Yeah. Real quickly, growing up in Conway County, got to ask, during the height of the Marlon Hawkins power and Winthrop Rockefeller moving up on the mountain and trying to change things, that had to be an interesting time to come of age for somebody like you who was also interested in politics, right?
Well, you know, those were very exciting, very troubling years. It were years of change. It was right in the middle, in the height of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Winthrop Rockefeller was, you know, very much pro-civil rights, pro-integration. And his predecessor, Orville Faubus, was not. So you had politics with a racial tinge back then as well. And, of course, my father was a Rockefeller reformer. And but, you know, I grew up with all the kids from all the other political environment. We all did the same thing, circling the Dairy Queen and the Dairy Diner together. And we really tried to not let it affect us that much, and still have great friends on both sides of the political spectrum from Conway County.
But, again, your father was intricately involved with the Republicans who were trying to reform things back in the 60s.
Yes, my dad hooked up with Winthrop Rockefeller along with Lynn Blaylock mm-hmm. and Gene Wirges and a handful of others, you know, about 58, 59, and really kind of laid the foundation and the base for the Republican Party of Arkansas as we know it today. But, you know, everything we've been talking about today, Rex, is not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's not about independents. It's about the values that have made America great and what we've got to do to continue forward.
Speaking of politics, Congressman Tim Griffin His wife's making him take a few days off during this August recess. He's down at Hot Springs, but he's going to call us in the next hour. So we're going to talk a little politics with the congressman, so stay tuned for that. Rick, this has been a delight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you so much. We've gone from Moody's to Wall Street to the St. James Group to Winthrop Rockefeller. We covered the waterfront in an hour, my friend.
To the zombies.
1 hour down, two to go, the Sunday Buzz.
Well, no one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there.
Professor Burke here from the University of Farmers with a chemistry lesson for you. Chemistry is all about combining things to get something different. Case in point, your farmer's agent can help you combine your...